Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ireland associates itself with the statement to be delivered by the European Union, and I make these remarks in a national capacity. I'd like to thank you, Mr. Chair, for approaching institutional strengthening of the Convention in a comprehensive manner, and would like to thank those states parties who submitted working papers under this agenda item, helping to inform our thinking on this issue. Ireland is fully committed to strengthening compliance with the object and purpose of the BTWC. In considering the range of approaches and options to further strengthen the Convention and its functioning, it's important to remember that there's no silver bullet for the challenges posed by the biological threats that we face today. To strengthen the functioning of the Convention, we will likely need to utilise some additional legal and voluntary measures. It will also be important to encourage states parties to continue to engage in bilateral, regional and international initiatives that complement the work of the Convention. Chair, the BTWC exists in a scientific context which has altered considerably from the assumptions that underpinned the 1972 text. Advances in biological sciences and biotechnology are occurring at a rapid pace. Many of these scientific advances bring added benefits to society and assist us in our achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals. However, we must also remain conscious of the potential risks that coexist alongside these peaceful benefits. In considering ways to strengthen the BTWC, we must start by recognising that, when compared with other similar regimes, our convention is institutionally weak. It contains no operational capacity to respond to biological attacks or provisions to verify compliance with the convention. It is widely recognised that verification greatly contributes to the effectiveness of any disarmament and non-proliferation instrument, and the absence of a formal inspection system and enforcement mechanism may limit the efficacy of the BTWC. While we acknowledge the lack of consensus on this issue, my delegation remains committed to encouraging all states parties to continue to examine its potential. The fast pace of scientific developments and the dual-use nature of biological agents and toxins requires us to ensure that the inherent risks associated with these items are controlled carefully. We must continue to work to establish methods of ensuring the timely submission of scientific and technological data to the work of the Convention. The input of such information may assist states parties to make better informed decisions and help states design new measures commensurate to the gravity of the problem identified. Mr. Chair, on top of any new measures, we must also work to ensure the effective implementation of existing measures that have already been made to strengthen the Convention and Convention institutionally. These include the utilisation of the BTWC confidence-building measures and revisions to the CBMs where necessary, maintaining support for non-intrusive transparency measures, such as peer reviews and voluntary visits to relevant facilities, and promoting the consultative provisions of Article 5 with a view to building and sustaining confidence in compliance. The Implementation Support Unit was established at the 6th Review Conference to provide administrative support to states parties, and it's provided important institutional support to states parties in the implementation of their treaty obligations and intersessional programme of work, despite its financial difficulties. Ireland continues to support the strengthening of the ISU's role and the inclusion of further activities in its mandate, such as a standing science and technology advisory and liaison function and support to national points of contact in compiling and submitting CBM forms. Expanding the ISU's function would better serve the interests of the parties and strengthen the BTWC. However, we recognise this could only be achieved with additional ISU resources. Chair, Ireland considers improving the effectiveness of how we conduct our work of utmost importance. A key element of this is broadening our discussions beyond traditional security issues and embracing a fresh approach. Sometimes what we need is a change in perspective. Considering gender perspectives allows a deeper examination of underlying assumptions about how gender shapes our own work and the dynamics of disarmament efforts. This was noted as early as 2006 by the Blix Commission when it recognised that, quote, expectations about gender shapes how the machinery considers and addresses disarmament and international security. The evidence is clear. When examining security challenges and weapons-related issues, gendered impacts must be assessed. Men, women, girls and boys experience different threats during and after conflict, as well as being differentially impacted by weapons and their flows in non-conflict environments. In addition, the issue of diverse participation and the full, meaningful and equal participation of men and women is also worthy of immediate action by states parties. Studies show that diversity and differing perspectives make group prediction and problem solving more effective. Newly published research by UNIDIR shows that at the 2018 MSP to the BTWC, women accounted for only 33% of delegation membership, still some way from equal representation. Chair, strengthening the institutional framework of the BTWC is essential to tackling biological weapons proliferation and the insecurity of biological weapons-related materials. Effectively addressing this multifaceted problem requires a multifactorial solution, and gender integration can be one of these factors. Against this backdrop, my delegation would propose that a further examination of gender in the context of the BTWC should take place in the December meeting of states parties. Thank you, Mr. Chair.